560 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Derek Dennis. On his heels, police in Kentucky tracking who they're now calling a suspect in this weekend's highway shooting spree. They believe 32-year-old Joseph Couch is somewhere in the nearby woods after finding an AR-15 rifle and his car abandoned.
We want to get him before it gets dark again, but no promises. You know, we're going to do our very best.
Sheriff's Deputy Gilbert Achardo, 7 people were shot or hurt in the shooting. California burning, 14 active wildfires in the state right now in 100-plus degree temperatures.
By the middle of the week, places like Los Angeles, which have been in the 100s over the weekend, are going to be down into the 80s. But for Phoenix, you're going to remain with temperatures over 100 degrees through the rest of this week, and you haven't been below 100 for a high temperature since the end of May. That stretch does continue.
ABC meteorologist Kenton Jawecki and Miami Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill is free after being detained by police in a traffic stop right before today's game against Jacksonville. This is ABC News. 2 days to go till the ABC News presidential debate between Democrat Kamala Harris and former President Trump, and a New York Times Siena College poll shows the race is neck and neck, 47% Trump to 48% Harris.
The persuadable voters need to know more about where Kamala Harris actually stands on the issue. The Times poll also showed that 47% of voters say that she's too liberal compared to just 32% who say Trump is too conservative. That shows that she needs this debate to help define herself in the eyes of Americans.
ABC's Jonathan Carl. Harris is doing debate prep and a little campaigning at Pittsburgh this weekend. Those close to former President Trump say every day is debate prep for him. If you had Mega Millions fever on Friday, you'll need more ice packs. No one won the jackpot, so the prize grows to an estimated $800 million for Tuesday's drawing. Just so you know, odds are winning one in more than 302 million. I'm Derek Dennis, ABC News.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. The health risks of raw milk are well known. Still, people in rural Wisconsin are more likely to prefer unpasteurized dairy products. More from Mike Mohn.
Supporters of raw milk say it is a much better flavor than pasteurized milk. But public health officials say the untreated product has been linked to illness outbreaks over the years. A public opinion survey led by the University of Pennsylvania Sean Patterson shows differing views when factoring in geographical settings about whether it's okay to consume raw milk.
People living in rural areas thought that raw milk was safer overall than people living in the suburbs or in urban environments.
Only a third of rural respondents thought raw milk was less safe to drink versus about half of urban respondents. Meanwhile, an outbreak of bird flu in dairy cattle is highlighting the issue. Infected cows can shed the virus into their milk, sparking fear of transmission to humans. Patterson notes that mainstream scientists have found no evidence that pasteurization alters the nutritional value of milk, but myths persist that it does.
Pasteurization doesn't change the nutritional value of milk. It doesn't significantly change the taste of milk, and so the risks really don't outweigh any of the benefits.
Patterson says there has been an uptick in demand for unpasteurized milk in recent years. He says social media could be one reason, and that future research would test that hypothesis. The Food and Drug Administration prohibits the interstate sale of unpasteurized milk, States make their own rules for milk that doesn't cross state lines. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. This story was produced with original reporting by Tim Merrima for the Daily Yonder.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Sunny skies on tap for the second half of your weekend. Southwest winds today and highs will reach the upper 70s. In the overnight, clear skies. Lows will drop to the lower to middle 50s. On Monday, sunny skies. Highs in the lower 80s. Currently 74 degrees.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
We'll be back Monday morning with weather from meteorologist Brittany Merlot, and she's Kurt Nick.
Plus, Shannon from the new community shelter stops in to talk about the upcoming bowl-a-thon. Join us.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Kicking off this week's Civic Media Spotlight, we take you to the Chad Holmes Show, where this week Chad had the opportunity to interview Democratic vice presidential candidate Tim Walz. They discussed what he and Vice President Kamala Harris hope to accomplish if elected in November.
Good morning! The time is 9:07. Currently overcast skies in downtown Wausau at our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. Temperature stands at 53 degrees. It is the Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Along with my in-studio engineer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Well, let's jump into it because this morning, it is our second anniversary. It is the second anniversary of our first show back on September the 6th of 2022. It's been 2 years of a lot of terrific guests. In fact, we jumped right into the middle of a campaign cycle back 2 years ago when this show got underway. During that campaign, we were fortunate to talk to folks such as Governor Tony Evers, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, future Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez and others. And then over the last couple of years, we've had opportunities to speak to other great guests like Senator Tammy Baldwin and so many great local political and governmental figures as well. And to start off our third year, we're very, very happy that got a chance to speak yesterday as he was campaigning in the state of Pennsylvania, the Democratic vice presidential nominee, the current governor of the state of Minnesota, Tim Walz. And here, with no further ado, is my conversation with the governor. We are very happy to welcome to the program the Democratic nominee for Vice President of the United States and the current governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz. Governor, first of all, thanks for spending a few minutes with us to talk to the people of North Central Wisconsin.
Oh, glad to be with you. We're barnstorming the country, and I'm in Pennsylvania, but it's exciting.
Governor, here in the
moving back to home, towards home. So,
absolutely, Governor. Again, here in North Central Wisconsin, we have a lot of rural areas, and you were born in rural area yourself in Nebraska, and also taught for years in Minnesota before running for office. How did where you came from affect the priorities you've worked on, both in Congress, in the governorship, and perhaps even in the vice presidency, should you be elected in November?
Yeah, well, obviously my heart is there. And I said, I know these communities. I'm proud of them. Look, I've watched a political shift in them, but I haven't seen a shift in the people. Their values are still the same. They care about their neighbors. They want to make sure that there's opportunities in their communities. They want their schools to be good. I think for me, I went to Congress to get things done. I served 12 years on the Ag Committee, wrote 3 farm bills, and those are incredibly bipartisan. And spent another 12 years on the Veterans Affairs Committee, working to make sure that if you're going to serve this country, we were there modernizing the GI Bill, making sure we took care of you on those wounds of war, whether they were physical or mental. And I think that's a lot of what rural America cares about. And then there's the idea of, you know, invest in the communities, do things, but kind of leave us alone. I'm kind of taking that message to folks that we don't need government in your healthcare decisions. We don't need them in your exam rooms, your bedrooms. We'd like them to fix the roads as they should, make sure there's housing available, and, you know, we'll do the job, pay our mortgage. But all of those things give folks an opportunity. And I just reject this notion that there's two Americas, whether it's red or blue, or there's two Americas, urban and rural. This country has been strong because of both. We're very proud in Wisconsin and Minnesota and Michigan and Pennsylvania. We feed, fuel, and clothe the world that come out of there. And these are the folks you're talking about. I just think we've got a message to take to them that our policies work better.
Along that same line, I think one of the more interesting aspects of your career is you started by winning in a tough district for Democrats. You served six terms in Congress in a district that would not be called blue. You defeated a six-term GOP incumbent to win office, and even in your last congressional election, won despite the district voting overwhelmingly for Donald Trump in 2016. Yeah. You talk about not buying the notion of two Americas. What has been your secret, or how have you been able to get the trust of more conservative voters that may vote Republican in some other races on the ballot, but then say, I'm still willing to vote for Tim Walz?
Yeah, and I think, you know, and I watched the GOP try and kind of twist where my record is at, is look, I said, I've learned how to compromise without compromising my values. I don't believe I have cornered the market on all the good ideas, and I don't believe you get your way only. I think you listen to where folks are at. They're telling me, look, we need healthcare costs to be more affordable. Look, we're property taxes are too high. What are you going to do about that? Look, I feel like I'm fair, you know, fine paying my fair share. But why do folks make $1 billion not pay any tax in many cases? And I think you talk to them really where they're at, and you hear them on the things they're conservative about. They're certainly conservative. They don't mind paying their taxes, but they don't want them wasted. So when something happens like that, you talk to them about it. You understand why. You understand how we can be more efficient. And I think you trust people to believe that, look, it's okay to vote against somebody. You don't have to hate them. You don't have to believe they don't care about this country or that they care about their community. They certainly do. And I think those are ways that you get the folks. And at the end of the day, I hope people, you know, they vote on policy, but character matters. Character does matter. And I think when you have a ticket that has made it clear that, you know, they want to do whatever they want to do and that they're above the law, I'm not sure that's where a lot of conservative folks are at.
In addition to this show, I have the privilege of broadcasting high school football for the last 25 years and have had the chance to see teams full of players from different backgrounds and from homes with different political beliefs come together, win championships like you experienced as a coach. I get the sense that after the last decade of a lot of nastiness in politics, there's a want for moving forward together, maybe ready to come out of their bubbles just a little bit. As you travel around the country, do you have that sense? Do you hear that from people?
No, I believe it, Chad. I was just mentioning we were down in Savannah, and there hadn't really been a campaign down there. Vice President and I were down there, and there were folks on one side of the street that had our banners, and then there were folks on the other side of the street that didn't. But I noticed in it, and I made the case of, is both groups were smiling and happy and talking to each other. They weren't giving one-finger salutes. They weren't yelling nasty things. They just disagreed. And I think something is happening. I think there's a lot of excitement around Vice President Harris and our campaign. I think there's a lot of folks looking for a way forward. But I think there's an awful lot of folks that would really like the nastiness to kind of end and to get back to this. Look, bring us your ideas, work hard. At the end of the day on election night, shake hands, congratulate the winner, and let's move on. Let's not pretend that our elections weren't fair. Let's not pretend that you've been aggrieved on this. That, look, I've won football games and I've lost them. And I walked across that field, shook hands, and we went to the next day. So I think you're right. I'm feeling it. I don't think people want to live in chaos. I don't think they want to live with this just constant, everything is fearful, everything, you have to wake up and be afraid. And I reject this notion that America is going to be fixed by one person. America is fixed when we join together, when we have a better plan together, when we all see community together. That's what Vice President Harris is bringing. And look, she brought the joy back to this, and she's being very clear about that our politics can be, these are hard things we have to get after, but they can be good things, and it can be good work.
And one final quick question. Every Friday, I go over to Culver's, and they want to know, being a Minnesota guy and so many Culver's around here, what is your Culver's order when you come either to Wisconsin or over in Minnesota?
Yeah, I'm a mushroom and Swiss guy, onion rings most of the time, and then I just do just a plain custard cup to leave with. So I, when I eat in-house, I do drink a lot of refills. I will say that. They probably lose money on that deal. But, yeah, that mushroom and Swiss burger at Culver's, man, that thing's to die for. So I'll give you that. Wisconsin's got that going hard for it.
Governor, again, I know how busy you are, and I'm just thrilled that you've been able to spend some time talk to the folks here in North Central Wisconsin. Hopefully you'll be coming to this part of the state during the campaign, and if you do, we'd love to have you come by here in Wausau as well. But again, really appreciate your time. Best of luck on the trail, and hopefully we can talk again.
All right. Thanks for having me, Chad.
That is the Democratic vice presidential nominee, Governor of the state of Minnesota, Tim Walz. Again, I had an opportunity yesterday to speak to him on the phone as he was campaigning in Pennsylvania. And a couple of takeaways from those, too few minutes. I would have loved to have had the opportunity to really have a long sit down, but doggone it, I mean,
he's
the nominee for the vice presidency, so he doesn't have a chance to sit down for 45 minutes with little old me here in central Wisconsin. But I thought, and one thing I want to point out is that I think there's sometimes thought, they get all the questions. No, they did not get the questions. And one of the things that really I thought was impressive was, boy, he's a sharp guy.
I mean, oh, yes.
He was able to, take the questions and answer them, I thought, very fully, very emphatically, and just really, I think, come across as somebody that really is sharp as a tack, and somebody that just knows the issues, knows the lay of the land, and would be an outstanding partner for Vice President Harris governing once the campaign is over. And also, again, he just comes across as such a personable person, and to be able to take the last question and answer it so naturally, he's done that throughout the course of his political career. But again, I was just thrilled to be able to have an opportunity, and hope that the folks that are tuned in right now enjoyed hearing from him as well, because I did think that living in this part of the world, this part of the state, with a lot of rural listeners and rural people that go day to day, and you get outside Wausau, you see so much of the farmland and ginseng and everything else, and this is a man that grew up in a very small town in Nebraska, taught in Minnesota. He's a man that I think really has lived the experience that we have here in North Central Wisconsin, and again, I thought he was a very personable and came across as a nice guy. And I do think that's important these days, because I think there is a sense of fatigue when it comes to the nastiness and the nasty nicknames and the name calling that we've seen from Trump over the last decade or so.
Yeah, but I did like the point he made about, that there are people that had, Harris and Walz signs on one side and people who didn't on the other. And yet they were still able to get along and disagree politely, didn't have name calling or the finger thing, just having a conversation where it's okay to disagree with people and still be civilized about it.
And also, real quickly, the thing that I liked as well is he mentioned about the battle of ideas. I've said that before myself.
Right.
The battle of the ideas. I mean, that's what it's all about, and we can do that. We can have that discussion and not have it delve into personal attacks. So, again, thanks to Governor Tim Walz, Democratic nominee for vice president, for joining us on the program.
Absolutely.
Coming up, we will talk Wisconsin sports. Newman Catholic football coach Tim Walz, a former football coach. We'll get football coach Paul Micklick coming up next. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
The Chad Holmes Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WXCO weekday mornings from 8 until 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Waterworld, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. Your news just for the Amory area. I'm James Kelly with WLAK News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on Lake Air 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app. Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, Earl Ingram fills in from 4 to 6 p.m. and welcomes in Dom Salvia to share the news that beginning Monday, September 9th, the Dom Salvia Show will replace the Devil's Advocates on the air. Tune in next week at the regular time from 4 to 6 p.m.
I am honored beyond words to have an opportunity to be filling in this afternoon. If you don't know me, my name is Earl Ingram. I'm the morning show host of the Earl Ingram Show at 540 AM WAUK in Waukesha. And so again, just thrilled beyond words to have an opportunity to usher in what is going to be a great new addition to Civic Media. And I'm without any further ado, I want to bring in the host who I'm now filling in for, and I'll let him tell you who he is.
Hey, Earl! It's Dominic!
What's happening, man?
Oh, my God, Earl. Thank you, brother. Really appreciate you stepping up this week. What a couple of weeks, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's hard to kind of get my head around everything over the last, you know, hell, 6 weeks, right?
Right.
Not long ago, Joe Biden was the president. You know, we're gonna head to the DNC for the funeral, and the Devils were on the air, and fast forward, it's like, whoa, sea shift, sea change after last week. So appreciate you, Earl. Appreciate everyone over at Civic Media. So here's the story. I'm happy to report that Civic Media and I have agreed on terms to my return to the political party starting next week, Monday, September 9th, 4 to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday. Super excited. Still hammering out some of the details and how this is all going to work, but I promise you it will be entertaining. It will be exciting. It'll be a whole lot of Dom.
Well, listen, man, I am thrilled beyond words, man, that, you know, that you are in this position. You've certainly earned it. You are certainly more than qualified to carry the torch. And Civic Media is not going to skip a beat. Nothing against, you know, your former, co-host. But Dominic doesn't have to test his wings. We already know he can fly.
Earl, you are so kind, man. Well, you know, man, when we met, because you were not on the radio at that time.
And no.
It is a privilege to be on the radio. It is not a right.
That's correct.
And we know that all too well. And so I certainly appreciate Civic Media's trust and confidence in me as a broadcaster, as an asset to the organization. And your words are, you're very kind, Earl. And it's not for lack of trying to hang out, man. It just hasn't worked out, right? But you know, man, Earl, none of this, we wouldn't be here if it weren't for Crudy, man, for Mike Crude. We wouldn't be here without his vision, without his drive. Not me, not you, Earl, not the audience, not Civic Media. This thing, I mean, Crude is a force in nature in that regard. So, you know, as an employee of Devil's Radio, Devil's Advocates, you know, when the decision was made, that Crudy made the decision, you know, his deal with Civic and wanted to renegotiate, amend that deal, perhaps, I guess I would say, And that wasn't going to happen. He decided that, you know, he was done. You know, Corinne and I had lots of strategic planning meetings over the DNC, you know, a couple of late nights on that. So, I mean, I understood Rudy's point. I get his position. He's a friend and, you know, we'll always love each other. I talked to him earlier today, kind of gave him the heads up as to what's going on. I was already planning on being off this week prior to this whole thing, you know, evolving as it did last week. I just like, you know, think the band reference, you know, Ozzy left Black Sabbath and it was replaced by Dio, and Ozzy went on to do a great solo career. You know, these things happen in broadcasting.
You know, Dominic, and you know my story, and you know that had it not been for Crudy, you guys picked me up off the scrap heap. You know, I had been out of radio, and I thought my 15 minutes of fame had ended, and I hadn't ever thought that I would ever get back to radio, and I never will forget that day that I met you and Crudy. And it was because of Mike Crute that he gave me an opportunity to get back on radio. And as they say, the rest of it is history. So I owe a great debt of gratitude to Mike Crute, who is a man who at the time that he got back, that he started the radio station, had mortgaged everything that he had in trusting that those things would happen. So any man who has done those kinds of things deserves a debt of gratitude, because he is the impetus for why we're all here. So we're going to take this call quickly from Mark from the SAC. You know the guy.
Oh, yeah.
So Mark from the SAC, it's, believe it or not, Earl Ingram having a conversation with Dominic. Now, what is the name of the new show, Dominic?
Like I said, man, we're still trying to figure it all out. All right. But I promise you, we'll know by next week.
Okay. All right. So go ahead, Mark, quickly.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, it's a real pleasure. It's a real pleasure to talk to you guys, and you've carried me through a lot, and it's just got to keep on keeping on, because that the nation's in a fight for its life.
Hey, Mark, I wish we had more time, but you have all the time in the world to connect with the new host early next week. If not, if you can't wait, I'll be here this afternoon and tomorrow, and, you know, I'll fill that void best I can. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Paul. You're next. You say what, sir?
Hey, Earl. Great to hear you in the afternoons. I don't get a chance much in the morning, but we have different programming, of course, here in
Madison.
But I am so happy for Civic Media to have Dominic back, because I started listening to these boys about 2013. I think they were on a different I won't mention the name of the station. But anyway, I couldn't be happier, and I know Mrs. Wisco, and I have a couple of daughters that are also very happy to know Dominic is back in the afternoon, because some of us people actually set our day by you anyway, Dominic. So, hey, I couldn't be happier.
Hey, Paul.
And you're gonna succeed. So.
Hey, Paul, thank you very much for the call. And, you know, Dominic didn't tell me this, but I know his favorite listener, CJ, will be thrilled to know that he still can trouble the waters.
Yeah, you got to have the P1 listeners, Earl. You know, this isn't the first time, you know, the band has split up between me and Crudy. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so, you know, I never burn bridges, never want to, you know, you never know what's going to happen, man. You know how this broadcasting world is, man. It's like,
yep,
you know, players get traded all the time. You know, I'm thinking these things happen. So, I'm honored. I feel very privileged, and I'm super excited to start out next week with, I don't know, the Dom Salvia show, perhaps. You know, we'll dig deep and let you know. And thank you, Earl, for stepping in. I believe Todd Alba's going to step up this week as well. Thank you, everybody. Keep that seat warm for me, buddy.
Hey, man, don't forget your friends now that you're in the big time. All right. All right.
All right. All right. Thanks, Earl.
Thank you very much, Dominic. We'll be certainly talking to you shortly. We'll be right back.
The Dom Salvia Show will begin airing across the Civic Media Network Monday, September 9th from 4 to 6 p.m. Tune in.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
ABC News. I'm Derek Dennis. On his heels, police in Kentucky tracking who they're now calling a suspect in this weekend's highway shooting spree. They believe 32-year-old Joseph Couch is somewhere in the nearby woods after finding an AR-15 rifle and his car abandoned.
We want to get him before it gets dark again, but no promises. You know, we're going to do our very best.
Sheriff's Deputy Gilbert Achardo, 7 people were shot or hurt in the shooting. California burning, 14 active wildfires in the state right now in 100-plus degree temperatures.
By the middle of the week, places like Los Angeles, which have been in the 100s over the weekend, are going to be down into the 80s. But for Phoenix, you're going to remain with temperatures over 100 degrees through the rest of this week, and you haven't been below 100 for a high temperature since the end of May. That stretch does continue.
ABC meteorologist Kent Jawecki. And Miami Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill is free after being detained by police in a traffic stop right before today's game against Jacksonville. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Jordan Love will miss the next few weeks. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Near the end of the Packers' loss on Friday to the Philadelphia Eagles, Green Bay's quarterback suffered a leg injury. Today, it was revealed that Love suffered a sprained MCL. It's expected that Love will miss 3 to 6 weeks. Head coach Matt LaFleur said Friday night he didn't know the extent of the injury, but said the Packers have work to do.
There's a lot to clean up. It was definitely a sloppy game, I think, from us. I think there was, you know, some uncharacteristic things that we did.
The Packers will take on the Indianapolis Colts a week from today. Wisconsin football used 2 early scores to get ahead by 14 points at the break and held on for a 27-13 victory over South Dakota yesterday. The Badgers play Alabama this Saturday. After losing 4 of their last 5 games, the Brewers took down the Rockies 5-2 on Saturday. The same 2 teams play again today to wrap up a 3-game series. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Sunny skies on tap for the second half of your weekend. Southwest winds today at highs will reach the upper 70s. In the overnight, clear skies. Lows will drop to the lower to middle 50s. On Monday, sunny skies. Highs in the lower 80s. Right now, it's 73.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The first highly anticipated debate between Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump is Tuesday night, September 10th.
Listen here as the presidential candidates address issues important to you.
It's not sustainable. It's not affordable by any country.
I know what we are fighting for. We're not fighting against something. We're fighting for.
Special coverage with detailed insights starts at 7:30 p.m.
Then listen to the ABC presidential debate live at 8, Tuesday, September 10th, on your local Civic Media radio station.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and some real talk about retirement savings, namely why you need it. Now, when I talk to folks who don't yet have retirement savings, I often hear things like, I don't want to retire, I'm going to work as long as I can. And look, I get it. And I have talked with thousands of people like me who love what they do or love working, or folks who just don't want to cut back on their spending. But check this out. Only about 20% of us are going to work past the age of 65. Whether it's because our industries change, or because our health takes a turn, or we want to care for our grandkids, who knows? And that is why it's important to start putting away even a little bit right away and getting yourself on a path towards a retirement plan. It's an investment in you and your future, no matter what the future holds. That is today's Work Money Minute. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube and take good care.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jane Matinere returns to the big chair, and we are talking about the election because we are less than 2 months away, people. Join us.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. Up next, we go to the John and Gordy Show. While Gordy was out at the doctor this week, John welcomed in Erin McGroarty, reporter for the Cap Times, to discuss her interviews with Senator Tammy Baldwin and businessman Eric Hovde.
From the Civic Media Mothership, it's the John and Gordy Show.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Liquid Lawyer, the product to turn to when your liquid plumber overcharges you.
The John and Gordy Family Show, John Peterson and Gordy's off today. And we have our special guest in today, and that is Erin McGroarty from the Cap Times in here. And we're going to talk about stand-up comedian Eric Hovde and Tammy Baldwin. And I'm actually changing the Eric Hovde thing. I call him a stand-up comedian because there's never been a less serious candidate that I can remember, except for Johnson, but I think you'd be electing him again. I have no idea how that happens. But anyway, Eric Hovde is now that 70s guy. That's how I like to describe him, with his mustache and his references in his interviews. And now you have done interviews with him. What is something you noticed about Eric Hovde in these interviews that you've had with him? Now, he doesn't do a lot of press at all.
Yeah. What I noticed the most is he's really leaning back on his business experience.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is what he feels like is his strongest stage to kind of take on Senator Tammy Baldwin, who we know has been victorious in most of her races since she began work in public office. And one of his priorities that he mentioned is the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And so coming from a business background, he's really looking at the U.S. economy as if it were a business.
Mm-hmm.
And in his opinion, that business is being run very poorly.
Mm-hmm.
So, I took the time to sit down with both him and Senator Tammy Baldwin to really get at the crux of their policy priorities.
Right.
So over the summer, Andrew Ball, my colleague, and I at the Cap Times held a series of listening sessions with our readers and really asked them, like, what they wanted out of our election coverage. 'Cause as we know, campaigns can devolve pretty quickly into back and forth kind of campaign attack ads.
Right.
And what we heard from our readers is that they really wanted to cut through that noise and get at some of the policy priorities. So that's what these interviews were about.
And that's probably the most important part of it, is the policy. And I know that, you know, we've received a few policy statements from Tammy Baldwin here at the station. And I've gotten one myself in the mail, and I thought it was actually a wonderful piece of politics. It was a map of the state of Wisconsin, and in each of the areas of the state where she brought funding in from the federal government, there was a list of the dollar amount and the program that she brought to each area of the state. And it is an incredible record of her working for the citizens of the state. We pay federal taxes, and she brings a lot of that money back home to us so it helps the state of Wisconsin. And I just thought that is just one great example of what she has been able to do. And I think she's running well ahead of Eric Hovde in the polls.
I don't put much stock in polls.
Okay.
I think that, you know, I've covered politics for a long time, and I know that things can change at the drop of a hat.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw in 2016, the polls showed us that Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was going to take the thing.
Yes.
And that did not happen.
Yeah.
So I personally, I know that polls show a moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
And that can change very quickly. That said, you know, I wrote a story last spring, I think, looking at some of the rural counties across Wisconsin that voted for former President Donald Trump in 2016 and again in 2020, but in 2018 swung towards Senator Baldwin.
Mm.
And I spoke to some Republicans in those counties that did, you know, mention what you just said, which is that, you know, she shows up, she listens, she tries to get money for, you know, farmers,
yeah,
mental health, rural hospitals. So I think that she's really leaning back on that. And on the flip side, Eric Hovde has campaigned on, you know, the fact that he is new to politics, and he thinks that that is a strength. In his view, there are too many career politicians in Washington, D.C., and he wants someone with a fresh perspective.
This is such a cliche, and I think that's the problem I have with Eric Hovde. I could say that because I'm a little more opinionated than you are, but he's running on just strictly old cliches. I'm going to call him the 70s guy. It's really mind-boggling how he stresses the family unit, just like, you know, J.D. Vance does, and he's worried about families not being able to afford houses and afford food. Of course, you know, we're talking about inflation at that point, but inflation has been brought down, so that's not an issue now. But at the same time, no one can afford a house anyway, and it's been that been true for years. And by the way, we had something called the Great Recession at one time, and that was the housing problem. It collapsed because banks were making too many loans, selling too many houses at affordable prices without any money down, and it brought the banks down. So now Republicans at that time said, see, we were giving too many homes away. We were giving too many people a chance to buy a home. And now they're complaining that not enough people are able to buy a house.
John, unfortunately for voters, perception is reality.
Yeah, well, that is absolutely true. So, there's one big story, and you probably had this, where Eric Hovde, his bank adopted or took in some business loans from other banks. They adopt, and I don't know how they make that switch over from one bank to another, but they took these business loans, and when they got those business loans, they foreclosed on them. You know, these are just loans that businesses take out, and they pay them off slowly, surely, but when they get transferred to another bank, that bank has the option of just closing that loan out. And that's what they did. Eric Hovde's bank closed these loans out. Do you have that story?
No. These interviews that I did with both of them was focused specifically on their policy priorities. So whoever makes it to D.C. in January, I asked them what they would prioritize the most. And when it came to the economy, Hovde's perspective is, you know, that the government needs to rein in spending to pre-COVID levels. Mm-hmm. And his suggestions for doing that is to roll back some regulations when it comes to energy development, when it comes to, you know, governmental operations. He feels that, you know, over-regulation is driving up prices.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was a comment out just recently, I think today, Janet Yellen is saying, you know, we can't repeal a lot of what took place during the Biden administration because that money is going to fund a lot of red state areas, jobs and corporate businesses who are relocating or starting businesses and creating jobs in a lot of red states. And if that money goes away or is somehow canceled out because Republicans are in charge and Donald Trump doesn't like them, those jobs will disappear and we'll have a problem with the economy again. So now you mentioned that Eric Hovde is focusing on that. But, you know, spending, he thinks that spending on the public is a bad thing.
He didn't specifically say that. I think that, you know, his perspective is that obviously during the COVID-19 pandemic, there was a global crisis and a lot of government expenses went up. People got, you know, checks in the mail to help support them. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's disputing that people needed help during the COVID pandemic or that those government checks were a bad thing. A lot of people needed those. I think that his perspective is that for all intents and purposes, that crisis is over. We know that COVID is still a thing. People in Madison still get it, but it is not, you know, at that level of crisis that it was. Mm-hmm. And so his thought is that, you know, we need to roll back government spending to what it was before the crisis and that, you know, that will drive down the national debt and, in his view, will allow the government to kind of rein in spending, which you know, he thinks will rein in inflation as well.
Right. And of course, you know, Trump is promising to continue the Trump tax cuts for corporations and wealthy people, and that will continue. But here's the problem I have with his perspective on COVID spending. We proved during COVID spending that we could bring childhood poverty down to half from where it is currently. So these were programs, sure. They were special programs for the pandemic. I got that. But we also had a chance to experiment with public spending, our federal dollars, helping the public survive the pandemic. And we found out that those programs actually helped the economy as well and helped those families. And we should have, I thought, anyway, like Eric, maybe should have learned something from what public spending can also do. Not just during a pandemic, but during an actual, just regular, normal, everyday business.
Well, and what's interesting is I think that Republican and Democrat candidates have heard that from the public. And we've seen on the national campaign trail, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, who is, you know, Donald Trump's vice presidential pick, talking to voters about increasing the child tax credit. He wanted to bump it up to $5,000. You know, Vice President Harris got wind of that, said, okay, we'll bump it up to $6,000. Mm-hmm. I think that when you're running a campaign, you're really trying to, I don't want to say buy votes, but you're wanting to appeal to the voters mm-hmm. in a way that's tangible to them.
Right.
And people's wallets is what is tangible to them. You look at, you know, any survey and people say the economy is the biggest issue mm-hmm. that they're going to be voting on across the board. That's Republicans or Democrats. So I think that on the national campaign scale, people are attuned to that. Mm-hmm. And it's, you have to take this stuff with a grain of salt because people make a lot of campaign promises. Whether those actually make it into policy action is another story. But we have seen, maybe not at the Senate level, but at the national level, mm-hmm. Candidates from both major parties, you know, realizing that people did like those incentives and, right. You know, hoping to bring back some of that.
And I think that Kamala Harris is actually promising to bring back a lot of that that extra money that we spent during COVID. That's her plan to do that because it seemed to have worked. Let's do it again. We're talking to Aaron McGrory from the Capital Times about Eric Hovde and Tammy Baldwin. We mentioned that Tammy Baldwin has brought a lot of federal dollars back to the state, and she is running a nice lead in the polls. And I'll go along with you on the fact that I don't believe in polls very much either. In fact, we don't do these poll races at all. But one thing that we're hearing about polls is that they count the people who may vote, who are going to vote. But there's a lot of people signing up for the very first time, who are registering to vote for the very first time. And the polls don't touch them. They don't know about them.
Yeah, it is interesting. They, you know, you look at the Marquette Law School poll, which is, you know, the big one here in Wisconsin. Yes. A lot of people look at that. And there's going to be a new poll coming out on September 11th from them, which will be interesting to take a look at. But they separate it from, you know, registered voters and likely voters. So those are people that have voted before. They're going to vote again.
Right.
It's easy to count on those. What both major parties are focusing on this year is, in addition to reaching that loyal base, they're really wanting to grasp at this kind of middle ground where there's a lot of maybe undecided voters. Mm-hmm. There's some moderates that the Republicans are hoping to pull back. There's central Republicans that, you know, Democrats are hoping to pull over to their side. Mm-hmm. Everybody's grasping at the younger generation. So there are a lot of, you know, unknown pockets of the electorate that both major parties are really trying to grab at. That's part of their focus on getting out to vote.
Yep. All right. Aaron McGrory from the Capital Times, we've got to have you back again and give us some more insights into what the politicians are talking about and some of the reasons why they have what they do have as a policy. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks so much.
All right. This is the John and Gordy Family Show. We'll be back.
The John and Gordy Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WMDX weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights.
Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Closing out hour one of the Civic Media Spotlight, we go to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. This week, Pete was joined by comedian Mary Mack. She shares what it was like growing up in Wisconsin and Minnesota, voice acting on Solar Opposites, and some creative influences that she's had.
I just saw more sad gelato people walk by. It's just depressing. I'm sorry. Like, during the summer, there are hordes of people going next door for gelato. Now it's just sad gelato. It's fall gelato. It's not summer, and I don't have any place for it. Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. We are broadcasting statewide from downtown Green Bay, and we are talking with comedian Mary Mack, who is a 715er, native Wisconsinite, and Minnesota. She's joining us tonight over the phone. We were talking about how you got your stand-up, Mary, and please continue.
Surprised you guys came back, actually.
What, you think we just took a powder or something?
Anytime somebody gets back on the phone with me, so thank you so much.
Well, you know, this is our pleasure, really. It's you're a lot of fun. This is really, I can't believe we haven't had you on sooner. This is great.
Yeah, this is nice. This is I don't even have to leave my house, so thanks for letting me call in.
Absolutely.
That would have been a toughie driving to Green Bay and back.
Hey, you are, I don't know how far of it, what is that, like a 6-hour drive?
It's about 5 hours okay. From here, I think.
In the yeah. Scampi? Or in the Scamp?
Oh, Scampi. I always add a day on for the Scamp. You don't know. One time I brought it into the Scamp dealership, you know, they hate seeing me come, because I have like a whole paint job, everything. And I put marine lights on it, everything like that.
Oh,
so they hate seeing me come down the road to get a repair. The last time I was in there, they're like, do you know that this isn't attached? Like, the top part wasn't even attached to the wheel part, you know, the chassis. So it was just like a loose lid on a trailer, basically.
And, well, unfortunately, yeah, you might be talking to the one person who knows less about scamps than you, and that would be me. So I'm not...
Okay.
But, you know, hey, if you ever bring it to this way, come to the eastern part of the state again or Green Bay, you have to come in and be on the show here. It would be fun. You have any dates coming up in this area or talk about your tour a little bit?
I don't think I can get it right. I can't get the it's going to take me a while to get the mice carcasses out of there. But I have a date coming up this weekend in Oshkosh, and that's close to you. It's not Oshkosh. It's Green Lake. In October, I'm in Oshkosh.
Okay.
At Time Community Theater. So I'm going to be there October 24th, a Thursday. And so then this weekend I'm in Green Lake, and I'm not sure how far that is from you, but it's not too far from Oshkosh.
Okay. Well, we'll touch base.
Yeah, I got marymackcomedy.com, so if people want to look at the schedule on there. I believe I was trying to tell you something about, how I got started in comedy. Yeah. Was that enough of a description for you? Need me to elaborate?
No. Listen, we just got a text on the stream. Jim Denny says, Mary Mack is awesome funny. When is she playing Around the Valley? Well, Jim, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Green Lake coming up. Yeah.
Yeah. Oshkosh on October 24th at Time Community Theater. It's on my website. Or else Green Lake. Yeah, Green Lake Thrasher Opera House this Saturday, September 7th.
That's so, right.
And I will not proselytize the mattress recycling. I will actually do comedy. I'll do my bits, and I have a really wonderful opener. She's great, Dana Ehrman, and she's out of Milwaukee, and I hire clean comics, so, okay. You know, because then you can entertain all ages, and it's easier to go on TV and do comedy if you're clean, so.
Definitely.
I keep it pretty clean, so.
That's excellent. So, you're so unique. I mean, you're very funny, but you have a very unique take and persona. Who are your influences when it comes to stand-up? Who did you grow up watching, and how did you kind of steer your comedy this way?
You know, I didn't even know you could be a stand-up comedian, but there's really just two people. I saw, before I started, I only saw one tape, a VHS tape that way back when, Louis Anderson, who I just adore, and you know, and he later became my friend and my mentor, and that's hard to, you know, just to think he's not here anymore is tough, but he was really the only, I mean, and you know what, the influence was there, because I wasn't smart enough to, at the time as a kid, to know what tight writing is or what good joke writing is, but the influence there was seeing my brother-in-law, who, my siblings were much older than me, and the whole family sitting around watching this VHS tape and just laughing, and the fact that, you know, nobody got up and left. They stayed there, and it was like a memorable family moment, and that stuck with me. It'll stick with me my whole life, sitting in our, you know, our living room all piled up on, you know, like Thanksgiving or something, watching that. That special, and it was so good, and he only got better and better and better after that. But when I was, I think it was like sixth grade or something like that, Star Search with Ed McMahon was on.
Sure.
And, I saw Ellen DeGeneres on there.
Oh, and, great stand-up, yeah.
Yeah, and it might have even been before that, I'm not sure, but I think that's about the era I saw her.
Okay.
And I thought, this lady is going to be famous. And I wrote her name down on a piece of paper, and I stuck it on my bulletin board. And I left it there. I stayed on my bulletin because my mom never, you know, we never cleaned out that room for ages. And so it probably stayed up there at least 12, 15 years. And on a bulletin board, and when people, you know, I'd be in college, and I'd have friends come over, and they'd see the bulletin board. And it'd just be things like, thought would happen, and I put them on my bulletin board, and Ellen DeGeneres' name was there, and she did pretty dang good for herself.
As did Louis Anderson. I'm so envious, because, like, when I would watch comics, Louis Anderson is one of those guys, like, you watch, and it's like, man, I wish I knew him. Like, I wish I was friends with him. He just seemed like a good guy, and he's so funny. And a Minneapolis guy, right?
He was so funny. What was that you said?
And he was a Minneapolis guy, correct? Isn't he from there?
Yeah, he grew up in St. Paul.
Okay.
So sometimes I'd have to pick him up, you know, and I'd pick him up in a Dodge Neon that was about 4 inches off the ground. Well, and I remember one time I picked him up, and you know, he always had a weight struggle, and he was always trying to get in shape. And then he always, you know, he had a bum knee. Oh, my God, he couldn't believe I picked him up in a car that close, that small and that close to the ground and to get him out.
Hey, Mary, can you hang for a few more minutes after the news?
Heck,
I'd love
to
keep you for a couple more minutes. Okay, fantastic. Comedian Mary Mack, that's the voice you're hearing. She's so funny. She's going to stick with us through the award-winning Civic Media News, which comes on now. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is part of the Civic Media. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the creator of the Meet the Parents franchise. Greg Liana joins the show to tell us where we can see his indie film classic, and casting director Rex Sykes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 6 till 8.
Protect your livelihood with a livestock risk protection policy through Egg Country Farm Credit Services. With an LRP policy, you're covered if the market price unexpectedly drops for fed cattle, feeder cattle, or swine. Coverage options range from 70 to 100%.
Get an LRP policy from a team that knows agriculture. Contact your local Ag Country office to learn more. Ag Country. Focused on ag. Focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender and provider.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.